Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, who you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, "It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, "I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. The saying is pure, sure, and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A few years ago, before I became your rector, I served as an interim at Christ Church South Pittsburgh. And on some occasion or another, I participated in an ecumenical service. The preacher for the occasion was a friend of mine, a Methodist clergyman, and in the course of his sermon, he said, "God is good." And the very loud response came back all the time. Over and over, "God is good," all the time. It was like a chant at a football game. It was like Rocky Top at a UT game. God is good all the time. You've got it. I confess, I thought it was a bit much. But they were proclaiming truth. And that truth is the theme of today's scripture. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So what does Jesus do? You know what he did. He told a story. And you remember these parables. They're very familiar. A man had 100 sheep. One wandered off and got lost. And the man, leaving behind the 99 others, hunts high and low for that lost sheep. And when he finds the sheep, he gathers his friends together and they all rejoice. They have a party. God is good. Oh, a woman had 10 silver coins and one mysteriously disappears, so she lights a lamp, turns her house upside down until she finds it. And when she finds the coin, she throws a party with all of her friends. God is good, and she celebrates his goodness. I think these parables raise some interesting questions for us. Luke tells us all the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near in order to hear him. Why? Why? What is it about Jesus that attracts tax collectors and sinners to him? Jesus said, "People who are healthy don't need a doctor. It is rather those who are ill who are in need." Jesus reached out to those who knew they needed him. The Pharisees and the scribes didn't think they needed the great physician. But these obvious sinners knew they needed help. And think about this. While Jesus seeks to bring sinners to repentance, not once did he actually scold or correct a sinner. Now, that's a far cry from what we often hear from some pulpits, isn't it? No, instead of condemnation, he eats with them. Instead of condemnation, he offers fellowship. Instead of condemnation, he offers communion. And what happens? The unacceptable sinners find themselves accepted. They are found. And then the celebrations start. And Jesus makes it clear what the celebrations are about. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And as I picture Jesus saying that, I see a slight smile on his face. He may mean that those 99 simply believe they need no repentance. I think he's thinking they need it as much as the sinner, but they just don't realize it. The distinction is between those who are aware of their need for repentance and those who are unaware that they have this need. And that is the irony of Jesus' wisdom. Those who come near to Jesus, the recognized sinners, these are the people on the margins of society. And we mustn't miss the point of this parable. We mustn't leave it back there in history, because it has meaning for us here and now. The recognized sinners draw close to Jesus. These are the people on the margins of society. Jesus welcomed the sinner. He accepted the unacceptable. And if we are going to be his followers, he calls us to do the same. Our society today names its losers, names its sinners, names the unclean and the unacceptable. And the church's task is to take sides with the underdog. The question for us, do we have the courage to name the losers in our society? To speak out loud who are the sinners in our culture? Do we have the courage to take their sides? Politicians and demagogues are constantly scapegoating people as sinners and undesirables. Today's sinners include undocumented immigrants, but apparently doesn't include respectable people who prevent group homes from coming into their neighborhoods. And these parables are telling us that Jesus embraces the very people that the rest of society rejects. This past Sunday, Pope Francis canonized Mother Teresa. She's now Saint Teresa of India. She accepted the unacceptable. She loved the unlovable. She poured herself out in compassion for the downtrodden. And for that, she is called blessed. There's something else I want you to consider about these two parables. Some of you remember the radio personality Garrison Keillor of Lake Wobegon fame, one of my favorites. He used to tell a story about a boy who came to the yearly revival at the local Lutheran church. And every night when the altar call came, this kid came down front. Night after night, he came up and he repented his sins and accepted Jesus. Keillor says at last count, he had been saved about 12 times. And Keillor said, that was a bit much even for Lutherans. But maybe that boy was telling us something about repentance and conversion. It is not a once-in-a-lifetime event. There are two different responses to Jesus and his God's reign. sinners repent because they know they are lost. And they know that they can be transformed when God finds them. I've met a few people in my life who just don't believe God can love them. That they've done something, sometime, somewhere, that just totally alienated them from God. And so they don't believe he can help them. How wrong they are. There is nothing that our God can't and won't forgive. Nothing. Ever wonder why we say the confession every Sunday? Because repentance is an ongoing, lifelong process. Because we, like sheep, have gone astray again and again and again. And so we too need to be sought and found by the Good Shepherd again and again and again. So Jesus gives us these two stories of being lost and being found, and the rejoicing in the recovery. Both stories tell us that each person is precious to God, of infinite worth, and worthy to participate fully in God's abundant life. Every one of us, sinners that we are, can rejoice at being found and redeemed by God's unfailing love. God is good all the time. Amen.
Let us stand and together profess our faith in the reading of the Nicene Creed, found on page 8 in our bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten from the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, for George, our own bishop, for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Jesus Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and people, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, especially Barack, our president, Bill and Nathan, our governors, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present, and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those on our prayer list, we pray especially for Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, Michelle, Joan, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jane, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Coran, Jeff, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Joe, Margaret, Laura, Baylor, Dwayne, Shay, Margaret, Dawn, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Pat, Eddie, Eric, Alberta, Joycey, Whitney, Terry and Bonnie, Tom, and Zach. And for all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health. We pray to you, O Lord.
O Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. We pray to you, O Lord.
O Lord, have mercy.
Are there any other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Marcy Jones and Emily Curtis. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Karen and John Hawkins. Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed Thaddeus, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our Lord.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, and you God, word in thee, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may abide in your will and walk on your ways, for the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, lead you in eternal life.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Several announcements to which I would call your attention this morning. First of all, I hope you have noticed in your bulletin an insert concerning the Bishop's Search Committee website. We encourage you to go to it, see what's happening in that area of our diocesan life. This morning, we began resuming the adult Christian education class. Meets at 9 o'clock. And it promises to be a really good discussion. And we encourage your attendance. I know it's 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, but surely you can make it. And they even provide a light breakfast. So come at 9 o'clock and really enjoy your fellow parishioners' discussion of the issues before us. Oh, also, the Bible study on Tuesday evenings begins this Tuesday at 6:30. Next vestry meeting, which is a week from this Tuesday, we will be electing delegates to the diocesan convention, and as I have mentioned before, these delegates that your vestry will elect will be the ones who will vote on the new bishop next year. So be sure, if you would like to participate in that, to let me or a member of the vestry know, and that way your name will be put on the list of people to consider at our next vestry meeting. Very important that we have good representation for that important convention. Family promise. Chris?
We will be serving dinner for the family promise, not tomorrow, like I said last time, but it is on the 19th. So if you'd like to come and share with food and fellowship, just let me know.
Chris, do you need a sign up sheet or something?
I think people are just getting in touch with me.
Okay, please see her after the service. It's an important ministry. Are there any other announcements to be made? Yes, Deb.
Just a reminder, the United Faith offering that I'm going to give, keep that in mind. United Faith offering still open.
Very much so. And if you don't have your little blue box, there are plenty out there in the narthex. Any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. On this, the 15th anniversary of the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center in New York City, this Holy Eucharist is offered to the glory of God with special intention for the repose of the souls of those who died. May the faithful departed rest in peace and light perpetual shine upon them. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive just need water. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord.